The story of Ruth is not only a beautiful natural story, it's one of the best love stories in the Bible besides the one in the Song of Solomon's. But the story of Ruth not only contains a natural story about a faithful woman named Ruth, faithfulness and dedication to God and to people, received the full blessings of God, and became later one of the ancestors to David. Boaz was and begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. So down the line was David. And so here's this beautiful story of Ruth. There are some natural principles that we can learn. But remember that every book in the Bible points to Jesus. Even the Song of Solomon's. They are not recorded for us just to consider natural human beings and how they relate to one another. But every book points to Jesus. And as you consider this book of Ruth, we want to take it from the spiritual perspective as an allegory about the church and Jesus Christ. Obviously, when you read through this book, you will have noticed that Ruth symbolized the church of Jesus Christ. And Boaz points to Jesus Christ. Of course, in every type and in every shadow of the and typology of Jesus, you never have a perfect type. But there are always types in the Bible. Like Abraham, when he sacrificed Isaac, that was a symbol and a type of the Father and the Son. And no matter how literal you are and how scholarly, you cannot deny the fact that there are symbols in the Bible that has to be interpreted allegorically. And I make this statement because I'm aware what theological education is like. And I've been through theological education, and I realize that the more intellectual you are, the harder is it to accept allegory. Mainly because I realize people have misused allegory and almost everything they take to be a symbolic form. But there are true allegories in the Bible that point to Jesus, and we don't want to miss those things. And that is where the book of Ruth brings forth special truths and revelation, and some even prophetic to what is to come in the bride of Jesus. So in the four chapters, We have in chapter 1 the beginning. In chapter 2, the preparation. And in chapter 3, the anointing. And in chapter 4, the marriage. They all point to the church of Jesus Christ. The New Testament church began officially on the day of Pentecost. Of course, if you consider the 12 apostles, then you would trace it back to the time Jesus called them. But officially, they began on the day of Pentecost. Because that was when God launched the church in power. And that was when God called the church to that last day ministry. Even though the church age has lasted nearly 2,000 years, our days called the church age are considered the last days. The last days happen to be quite a long last days. You remember when Peter stood up in the book of Acts chapter 2, and he says that to all those people who were looking at the 120 people speaking in other tongues and wondering whether they were drunken in Acts 2. And Peter stood up and said, "This which you see is what the Holy Spirit spoke in Joel, where it says, in the last days, He will pour out His Spirit on all flesh." So Peter was referring to the happenings in the book of Acts chapter 2. So they began the last days. And so they were the last days nearly 2,000 years ago. Here we are towards the end of the last days. We are on the last of the last days. And we pray it doesn't remain that long. Because 2,000 years is quite a long time to come from the day in the book of Acts. So having seen this story, Ruth symbolizes the Gentile church. Because the story of Ruth is in the Old Testament, where it's in a Jewish dispensation. But Ruth was a Gentile woman. She was a Moabite. Someone who was not part of the normal covenant of Israel. So these stories are all symbolically pointing to the bride. In chapter 1, you see how the bride began. In the book of Ruth, you read about this man in chapter 1, verse 1. It came to pass, in the days when the judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wives and his two sons. In this story, everyone is a symbol. Elimelech represents the going forth of God to seek for a church, a bride. It shows forth God going forth to the Gentiles. See, when Jesus Christ came, He came first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. So here they are going forth. Elimelech going forth with his two sons. His wife was Naomi. They married two. The sons married, and they have two daughters-in-law, and their name in verse 4 says they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so the woman survived her two sons and her husband. So, you notice that everybody died. In this, within 4 verses, everybody died. Elimelech died, Mahlon died, Chilion died. It left only Naomi and Ruth and Orpah, three women. Notice the three deaths. You notice that when Jesus Christ came to the planet Earth, Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. It was in Jesus' death that the covenant reaches to the Gentiles. If not for the death of Jesus Christ, there will be no Gentile church. Paul mentions that over and over again, how the dividing wall was broken down through the death of Jesus Christ. So all these in typology points to the very coming of Jesus Christ to this planet Earth, and how He's taking a bride, choosing a bride. And Naomi in this story symbolizes the Holy Spirit. In this story, Naomi represents the Holy Spirit's working. And the two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, symbolize a twofold working of God, a twofold working of God to the Gentile world. Elimelech, from the name Eli, which has to do with God, symbolizes the intention of God reaching down unto us, the Gentiles. So that is the basic symbolism that we have. And you notice that if not for the death of those three, there wouldn't have been this story that you have. They would have continued living in the land Moab, and there would be none of this story. Now the book of Ruth is in the time of the judges. And some of you came prepared for the book of Judges, right? Is that right? Okay. Tonight is Ruth, right? We're not going exactly in that order, but it's in line with that message, right, that we have tonight from God. If tonight I teach on Judges, you go home at one, right? Okay. That's one reason, right? So, no wonder some of you are looking strangely over here, right? Now, we will be able to cover Ruth by our appointed time, but not Judges, right? So, the book of Ruth, and somehow it ties it, what God is speaking tonight to us. And so you begin to see now, Orpah and Ruth representing the church. Orpah also representing the part of the Gentile world that is called but doesn't respond to God all the way. And the key is here, as Naomi was about to return, you notice that it's the Holy Spirit who brings the church to the Lord Jesus Christ. See, Naomi represents the Holy Spirit. And here, Naomi wants to return back to Israel. They are in the land of Moab, Gentile territory. Now, the background of all these prophecies are given to us, you will notice in the book of Romans chapter 16. Let's look at Romans chapter 11. It says here in verse 25, Paul is writing about the Jews, how they have rejected the Lord Jesus. And it says in verse 25, "For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that hardening in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in." Notice, the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. So, there will be a time when the Gentiles reach the fullness of God's working. Notice another statement made in Acts 15. See, we have to look at all these eschatological promises to place where we are. Acts 15, James stood up in the Jerusalem council and he made this fantastic statement. In verse 14, 15 and 16, James said this word, "Simon has declared how God at the first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And with this the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written." In other words, they were all surprised at what God is doing among the Gentiles. You see, even the Jerusalem church was surprised. To them, for God to go to the Gentiles was a new thing. It was a new prophetic move. It's almost like the happenings in Europe that shocked the world within 1 year. So much changes. So there's so many things happening among the Gentiles, and everything was so fast, there was a dispensational change. My friends, we are living in a dispensational change in Asia. The move of Christianity began in Jerusalem. And slowly you will notice that it moves to the north. And the nations of Europe were the major custodians of the Christian faith. You can say that in a sense. Slowly, America became the main emphasis. You will notice the First Great Awakening and the Second Great Awakening. This decade is moving over here in Asia. Then after that, it will move towards the south. And then will be the final move when there will be a shaking. And then will be the end. So there is a dispensational change.